What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Fit for Life with Aunt Julie and Ross podcast.
Hey, team.
It is our first podcast this year, 2023, and I cannot believe it's already almost the end of January. Oh, my time is flying by. How are you going, Ross?
I know. Where does the year go? It's crazy.
I feel like last year just flew by, but we accomplished so much in 1 year, and now we've gone into 2023, and I'm like, what's the goal this year? So what is your current fitness goal?
Really, it's just around maintaining. So I turned 35 this year. So really, I guess one of my main goals is I want to have abs still at 35. And as I get closer to 40, like I want to make sure I still have abs and still in good shape. So I guess that's my goal, is to try and maintain that.
Ooh, 35. Wow. I don't even want to think about what age I'm turning this year, but I think that's a great goal. I think it's awesome that, you know, with work and all the busy year that we had last year, you know, we've both really focused on our fitness goals and really kind of honored ourselves and our goals by, you know, sticking to our nutrition and training year round, even when we're busy, which is awesome. My goal this year is also kind of similar. I am really, honestly, looking forward to not going into a comp prep. So as soon as I went pro, the question I had from everyone was, when's your pro debut? When's your pro debut? And I feel like this happens in life so often, in which as soon as you know, get into a relationship or you get engaged, it's like, when are you getting married? When are you having kids? When are you having a house? And everyone's always focused so much on the future. And it's the same thing happens in your fitness journey. It's like, when I went pro, everyone wanted to know when I do a pro show. And in all honesty, I just want to enjoy being a pro and finding a happy, sweet spot of balance. And I feel like post show, I've been able to do that. We had Christmas with the family, my first Christmas with my dad and my brother in a very long time. We spent lots of time with Ross's family as well, the nieces, the nephews. We got to eat lots of delicious food. And I think for me this year, I really just want to focus on getting strong, building consistency around all my habits, and just lifting for the sake of loving it, as opposed to feeling like I've got to look a certain way by a certain date. Because at the end of the day, like, I never started my fitness journey to look a certain way. I started it to feel a certain way. And right now I'm just loving my shape and how I feel. That was a lot. But anyway, today's podcast, we kind of just wanted to recap on what our goals are. We also wanted to share our top tips for you to achieve your goals this year. And then we got a few questions coming through from my Instagram. And of course, if you do enjoy this podcast, make sure you share it on your stories and also send through any other questions or future topics that you'd like this year on the podcast, because both Ross and I really want to get back into regularly sharing our tips in life on the podcast. So before we get into the questions, Ross, I wanted to ask you what your top tip is for anyone looking to achieve their health and fitness goals this year.
Yeah, I think probably my top tip, or top tips in general, would be to really understand your motivations to why you want to achieve your goal. Because one of the biggest reasons for people falling off track is a lack or loss of motivation. So you really need to, I guess, deeply understand your intentions behind your goal, because everyone is going to have slip-ups on their goal, and you need something to fall back on and reflect on to help you get back on track. And that's going to be your motivation or your why behind the goal that you have.
I love that. That's awesome. Yeah, I think around this time of year, you know, it's toward the end of January, there's a lot of stats around people, you know, giving up on their New Year's resolutions within a few weeks of starting the year. So knowing that why can be a really good way to make sure that you actually stay on track, or at least get back on track when you do slip up, which is inevitable. People are always going to slip up on their fitness journey.
Yeah, and that kind of leads me on to my second top tip, and that's resilience, because you're going to need the ability to bounce back from the inevitable setbacks that you have. Like, it's not going to be a perfect straight line to your goal. It never is. So we need to lean on resilience, that ability to bounce back from the setbacks that we have.
Yeah, definitely. And that actually flows on nicely to my one, your two tips. So my top tip, as everyone knows, I'm sure if you've followed my journey for a while, is to have a plan. Having a why is great. thinking about what you want to do is, you know, good, but actually having a plan and taking action is going to be what's going to get you the results that you want. So when I say getting a plan, I mean having a personalized training and nutrition plan that is tailored to you and your goals, that helps you understand exactly what exercise you need to do, what habits you need to stick to, and what food you should be eating in order to achieve your goals. Because you can, you know, work out at home or work out in the gym as long as you want, as many times as you want in the week, but if your nutrition is not aligned to your goal, whether that's to lose fat, maintain, or build muscle, you're actually not going to get the results that you want. Chances are you'll feel disheartened and then you'll give up on your fitness journey before you actually try something that works. So for me personally, like, of course, you know, I am a coach. I coach women all around the world in over 80 different countries on the Anjuli Fit Squad. If you need help with your training and your nutrition, some accountability, some support from other women all around the world, sign up at fitwithanjuli.com. I'll send you an email about your goals and you can get started working together with me today. Having that plan in place was something that literally put me on the path to, you know, competing and where I am now. And like they say, even coaches need coaches. So every time I compete, I get a coach because it takes all the guesswork out of it. You get your meals, you get your training, or you could do flexible dieting like Ross and I do, where we just track foods that we love to the calories that we're, you know, planning to hit. And yeah, it's just an absolute game changer. So we've got a few good tips there from both Ross and I. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
No, I do think an accountability partner like a coach really does help. So if your goal is health related, getting someone in that field is obviously a good idea. Maybe your goal is career related, then it's a good idea to get your manager or perhaps a mentor on board to help guide you with that, because that accountability is going to, you know, hold you to the strategies that you have.
Yeah, and I also think when you are looking for an accountability partner, you need someone that's actually going to hold you accountable to your goals. Ross at times in the past has held me accountable to my goals. If I was maybe slacking a little bit, he wouldn't be afraid to call me out on that and, you know, just challenge my actions and the things that I was saying. If I was saying certain things I wanted to achieve, but my actions weren't aligning to that. And not everyone has that with their, you know, partners or husbands, wives. So, you know, if your partner's not going to call you out on your excuses and things, then you need someone that will, whether that's going to be a good friend that doesn't mind telling you how it is, whether it's a boss, a manager, or a coach. So there is a firm line between a coach, you know, supporting you, but then also being able to, you know, acknowledge what you're struggling with and then helping you get through that. Like if you are continuously saying that you struggle to stick to nutrition, but you're not setting yourself up for success and that you're not willing to meal prep, so you always end up getting takeaways, or maybe you're buying foods that don't align with your goals and you're struggling to control them, then that's where someone can, you know, pinpoint those little struggles and help you move past them. Cool. Okay, I think that's enough on that front. Let's get into the questions. So the first question that we actually had is, I'm going to let Ross handle this one. What do you recommend eating before a workout and how soon before?
Oh, that's a big question. It really depends on when you train and what you prefer. Like, I train first thing in the morning at 4:30 in the morning. So you're obviously not going to get up and eat before that. So I just train on an empty stomach. It's totally fine to do if you feel okay doing it. Your body stores glycogen, which can be converted into glucose, so you can use that as, you know, fuel for your workouts. If you have time to eat before workout, then, you know, a couple of hours before, some complex carbohydrates, like perhaps oatmeal and some sort of protein source is a good idea. Or if you get to have, you know, some sweet potato and chicken, if you've got some time, you know, if you're training in the afternoon, then that could be a good option. The answers really depend. Do you have to? No. But if you do have time, then perhaps you will notice performance increases. I personally don't, but lots of people report that they do. So if you are training in the afternoon, of course, you're going to get a few meals. And I would just would suggest not eating too close to your workout. And if you do want food that's, I guess, within an hour before workouts, go for something like fruit, like a banana. because it's faster digesting than some, I guess, some other complex carbohydrates or other types of meals. But yeah, if you do have time to have complex carbs, proteins, all that sort of stuff, then go for about 2 to 3 hours beforehand.
Yeah, great. So for someone that's training in the afternoon, you know, maybe you've had your lunch earlier, you know, or maybe you've already had a snack in the afternoon, so you might find that you've got enough food in you without specifically trying to, you know, jam some food in you before you go for a workout. For me personally, I have always said, I love training fasted. I train fasted year round. And actually, during my last prep, I started eating before I train in the morning. I never liked doing this. Like, Ross and I would wake up at 4:30 in the morning and I would just train fasted with my pre-workout, and I loved that. But in saying that, I really wanted to try and maintain as much muscle as I could and make sure that I was, you know, training as best as I could on the low calories that I had. So I actually was eating before I train, and I've kept eating before I train even now. So I was having honey on crumpets, and now that, to be honest, crumpets have gotten so expensive here in New Zealand, I've swapped out that with rices. So I've been having rices, some almond milk and some honey as my pre-workout, and that's fine for me because I'm on higher calories now. Like, I'm not in a shred, it's easy for me to fit in, and I find that works for me. However, I could definitely still train with pre-workout and be fine. I've just decided that I prefer eating before, and so I'm just going to test that out for a bit longer and see how I go, ideally keeping it in so that I can build as much muscle as I can. But it's also important to note that Ross eats a big meal the night before as well, like a pretty big meal for dinner. So he's also got carbs in his body stored for the next morning.
Yeah, and I think, it depends on your goals. Like, go with whatever you feel best on. You're probably not going to have, significant differences in results from doing either one, providing that your calories and your macros for the day hit your targets. If you achieve those, that's going to give you, the largest benefit. You know, will you perhaps get a slight benefit from eating before if you have time? Then maybe. You might do. But you might also find that if you train in the morning like me, if I have something to eat, I just feel too full. And, you know, when I'm training, you know, hard, and you've got too much food in your stomach still, you haven't digested it, then it affects my performance. So I guess it depends on you as an individual.
Yeah, everyone's different. And some people feel sick if they don't eat before, whereas other people feel sick if they do eat before. Yes. So definitely an individual one, but there's some ideas of things that you can eat. One quick question, which is easy for us. When will you come to Europe? Honestly, I feel like I am so done with travel after America. I just went to Sydney last week, but in terms of big trips, I don't think we will be doing any big trips this year. I think we're quite happy to stay home.
Yeah, Europe is so far. It's, you know, it's so much travel time from New Zealand. We'll stopovers and things like that. It's like 30 plus hours, just the flight time in one direction. So it's a really long way for us.
Yeah. And also flights, since everything's been happening, have gotten so expensive. So we definitely won't be popping over to Europe anytime soon, but hopefully we'll get a holiday at some point this year. Question that came through for me was, Ashley, can you explain what a pro is and how you become one? I actually had a few questions like this. So obviously this one's going to be one for me to answer. I had three questions come through all about the pro card. So what does winning your pro card mean, and how does that change things for you? And does it mean more work or more competitions? Do I change my diet and lifting? So lots of questions all about what becoming a pro means to me. Boy, oh boy, did it take some time for me to go pro. It was so special to be in America, in Atlantic City, and to have Ross sitting there watching as they announced first place and Julie Mack and new WBFF Pro. So first of all, WBFF, it stands for World Beauty, Fitness, and Fashion. In order to become a pro, it is that the judges deem you as someone that is marketable and can represent the brand well. So For me personally, becoming a pro was something that I wanted to do for myself. I've shared a little bit about my why on YouTube and it goes really deep. So definitely I'm heading along to my YouTube and check out my competing video of why I wanted to go pro. But for me personally, it was really just about showing myself that I could do it naturally, as well as setting an example for other women all around the world that you can achieve your goals if you're willing to put in the work and have that resilience to pick yourself up. Even when you fall down time and time again, or maybe you don't achieve your goals the first, second, third, fourth, fifth time. So for me, that was just a really big goal, and I did it completely naturally, in terms of not that it's spoken about too much, but you know, no steroids, no surgeries, no Botox, no fillers, just completely natural was my goal, to show other women around the world that you can achieve it if you're willing to put in the time it takes to build the muscle and hours it takes, you know, in the kitchen prepping, posing, training. Yeah, so that's why I wanted to do it. And then in terms of what it means to me is I can now compete with the best of the best all around the world in pro shows. There's a few different pro shows all around the world. And if you win a pro show, you actually win a crown, which is pretty cool. So to be honest, more than anything, it's just a personal achievement I'm really proud of. And I guess it just means that, yes, I do have more work to do, because once you go pro, you are pretty much in the bottom of the fish tank all over again, because you are competing with, like I said, the best of the best in the federation all around the world. So I guess, yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell. You really have to be chosen by the judges. So just to give you one more idea of it, when I competed in Australia in my first show, there were 60 girls on stage and first place didn't even get a pro card. So it is very competitive to get your pro card all around the world. Okay, that's enough of comp prep talk. It is time for Ross. I don't know how you'll feel about this question. Tips for a caffeine-free period. I'm worried about the headaches. So, Ross, when was the last time you took a break from caffeine?
Definitely asking the wrong person about this. My tips for a caffeine break would be to have less. Yeah. I don't ever have a caffeine break. I just really like my coffee, a cold brew coffee, love it. So I personally will just sometimes reduce, if you are going to take a break, and I have taken breaks in the past, guys, it's not like I have caffeine all the time. I have most of the time, but not all the time. If you are going to have a break, I would generally suggest lowering your intake before you go cold turkey, because you will 100% have headaches. I've been there, I've done that, I've gone cold turkey. And the day, if you've gone from lots of caffeine to no caffeine, the day that you go no caffeine is awful.
It's death.
It's awful. So my suggestion would be to slowly lower it for a while, you know, slowly lower that caffeine intake. And as bad as it sounds, if you've got really bad headaches that day, maybe have like a weak English breakfast tea or something like that still has a little bit of caffeine in it, but it's not too high, because that will take your headache away, which is really bad. But you know, like you don't want to just go complete cold turkey on it.
I am the worst example. I mean, Russ and I are two extremes. He likes to tape it off. I go the polar opposite and cut out all caffeine, and every time I do it, I get killer headaches, and I complain about my headaches, but I find it easier just to cut it out completely. I don't recommend it. It's not a fun time. I actually usually take a break from caffeine every 12 weeks, and seeing this question has reminded me that I do need to take a break from caffeine at some point. After competing, I did take a little break while we were in Orlando, I think. Oh, no. I had an energy drink. Nope. So I haven't taken a break from caffeine in a while. And to be honest, I love it when I'm on prep, because I find that having it pre-workout really helps me energy-wise. It also helps suppress my appetite when I'm dieting in a calorie deficit. And now it's just gone to the point where, you know, I just like some caffeine in my day. So if I was to go caffeine free next time, which will probably be next month, and you guys should probably hold me to this, Ross maybe hold me to it, to go caffeine free for at least a week next month, I will taper it down by half scooping my pre-workout, and then from there I'll swap to a non-stimulant based pre-workout, so I still get something flavored to start my day, and we'll see how I go with that.
I think it's also important to think about why you want to have a caffeine break. Like, does it make you feel anxious? Are you jittery? Does it stop you from sleeping? If these are all things you're saying yes to, then yeah, you probably should have a bit of a caffeine break. But I don't know. Like, I just really like the smell and the taste of coffee. I don't notice any jitters from it. I don't get anxious. Nothing like that. I don't even get, you know, too, I guess, bigger change in my heart rate or anything like that either. I just really enjoy the taste of it. So for me, I don't notice any adverse effects from caffeine. So I'm just, I don't have a reason for actually giving it up. But if you have a reason for why you need to take your caffeine break, then that should be something you should take into consideration.
That's actually a really good point, because I usually take a break because I feel like I get dependent on it. And sometimes I do feel a little bit more anxious and stressed as I have more and more caffeine. And let's be honest, I have so much energy when I'm not in a deficit, and I could talk for days about caffeine and my love of OxyShred. But let's move on to...
Also, who could train at 4:30 in the morning with no coffee? Like, who could do that? I can't do it, so yeah, yeah. I'd eat it.
I think whatever gets you through, fair enough. Faman, do you cook for Ross, or do you guys do your own meal prep? So... when it comes to the way Ross and I prepare our food, in the past, honestly, I've got so many photos of when I was in university and we used to meal prep together and we cook all our food and we keep it in little Tupperware. But we've actually changed the way in which we eat quite a lot since those days, in terms of both of us work from home now. We're each together at lunchtime. Usually what we actually do, because we like to eat our food fresh, is we prepare our vegetables earlier in the week. So usually I'll chop up carrots and kumara for Ross. He also likes to have kumara chips. So I'll chop up the veggies nice and fresh, and I'll soak them in water in the fridge. And this keeps them really nice, so that when it does come to lunch or dinner time, all we need to do is strain out the water and then put them in the air fryer with our meat, which is usually chicken. And then when it comes to other vegetables, to make it easy, we'll actually just stir fry frozen veggies. It's cheap, it's easy, and that's just a way that we eat our food. And if I happen to be away, like I was in Sydney, poor Ross has to take one for the team and prepare his own food whilst working a lot. So usually I like to cook for both of us. It's, I guess, just like a love language for me. I like feeding people. I like doing nice things for people. And Ross is so busy doing everything else with work and around the house that it's just something nice that I can do for both of us. But otherwise, Ross makes his own snacks and things in the day, and I also have snacks separately. But we usually eat lunch and dinner together sitting down. Cool. Okay. Another question that came through: for someone interested in competing but starting from ground zero, where to start? So I would assume they're literally starting at the very bottom, not even in their fitness journey yet. So what would be your top tip?
Yeah, if you want to compete and you're serious about it, go to a coach from day one. You'll get way better results and you'll progress towards that goal a lot faster than trying to do it on your own, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, getting a coach from day one is the number one tip. Ross and I have said many times on the podcast and privately in conversation, we wish we had a coach from day one. We both would have been far further than we are right now. But at least, if anything, you can learn from us what not to do. Just get that coach from day one.
Especially if you don't have any training in the field, you'll be forever searching the internet. There's some great stuff out there, but like, you'll just be set up so much better if you just go straight to a coach.
Yeah, and also with that, if you are serious about competing and you're starting from ground zero, don't see this as a 3 or 6 month goal. See it as a year or two goal, like at minimum. So those that have worked with me that have actually done well in competitions and gone pro have worked with me for over a year, but I suggest, you know, the longer the better. So ideally 2 to 3 years working with a coach, tracking your macros, hitting your steps, building a lifestyle, building a strong foundation. Because if you go straight into a comp prep shred and you are dieting down for 16 to 20 weeks, not only is it going to be miserable and super hard, you're going to find that at the end you don't even have the shape that you want, because you're just going to be essentially skinny. Like, you just won't have the muscle mass that you need in order to step on stage in a competitive shape. I hope that makes sense. Yeah, getting a coach would be the number one thing. And being patient. Like, you might think that you want to compete and you might think you want to do it in the next 3 to 6 months, but realistically, it doesn't matter how long it's going to take because that time's going to pass anyway. So you may as well take the time you need to build a lifestyle, create healthy habits, build a good foundation of habits and muscle mass, and then do it justice when you do step on stage, you know, in a year or two. So yeah. Okay. Last up, we have one more question, and that is, where do you see yourself in 3 years with regards to fitness competing? So, Ross, how are you going for comps?
Oh, no, I gave that up a long time ago. So I think I was 25, 26 when I did my last one. Yeah, not anymore unless they, you know, bring out some sort of 40-plus category. Yeah,
fair enough.
5 years time.
So. Yeah, and for me, like I said, this is such a highly asked question. I, at this point in time, just really want to enjoy my life, enjoy balance, keep lifting, keep helping other women around the world achieve their goals. That's really my goal right now, is just to help as many other people as I can achieve their goals. I feel like I've achieved many of mine, and I'm sure I will let you know when I do decide to do another competition, if I decide to, but you never know what the future holds. I have a lot of other goals for this year that will take my focus from me, I'm sure. So yeah, that wraps up our first podcast of the year, and definitely not the last. Thanks so much, you guys, for tuning in. Make sure that you share this if you found it useful, and let me know if you have any other podcast questions or suggestions. We'll catch you in the next one.
See you in the next one.